You're listening to Comedy Central.
September 30th, 2019. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight is the former governor of South Carolina, and now he is running as a Republican presidential candidate. Mark Sanford is going to be joining us tonight, everybody. Also on tonight's show, exercise is damaging your brain. Ronny Chang tells you why you shouldn't donate to charity, and Donald Trump is getting impeached. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys love Ronny Chang. So let's catch up on today's headlines. Let's start with some good news and some bad news. The bad news is global temperatures are continuing to rise thanks to climate change and hot girl summer. But the good news is Elon Musk has a backup plan.
Elon Musk says his vision of sending humans to the moon and Mars could soon become a reality. The SpaceX CEO showed off the latest version of his towering stainless steel Starship rocket on Saturday in Texas. He called the vehicle the critical breakthrough that will make space travel like air travel.
There are many troubles in the world, of course, and these are important and we need to solve them. But we also need things that make us excited to be alive, that make us glad to wake up in the morning and be fired up about the future. And this is I think, the most inspiring thing that I've ever seen.
Okay, I love Elon Musk, but what the hell is this thing? No, maybe I'm spoiled because I'm used to his inventions looking cool and futuristic, but if I'm going to space, I'm not going in a giant dildo mirror. I don't know what that thing is. And you know, Elon even thinks that this thing looks weird because he held a press conference in the middle of the night. That's never a great sign. Like, imagine if your friend was like, so I'm dating this guy and he's really cool. It's like, oh, can we meet him? Yeah, but only in a cornfield at midnight. And by the way, Elon, if you're trying to sell us on space travel, stop saying you're gonna make it the new air travel. Everyone hates air travel, okay? Because now you're just saying it's gonna be in space. So now instead of getting excited about space, I'm thinking of like my flights getting canceled while I'm stuck on Mars, having to deal with aliens at the TSA, humans dispose of liquids, prepare for probing. I'll be like, I'm just going to Cleveland. Everybody gets probed. Seriously, if space travel was like flying, it would be terrible. Because it's also so much longer, it's like light years of flying. The last thing I want to be doing is sitting next to a crying baby for like 16 years. Can you imagine the things just crying, And then by the time we land, it's a crying man. Wah, wah, wah. You've been crying this whole time. This is all I know. Wah. All right, but let's move on to our next story. Because if Elon Musk is looking for someone crazy enough to fly his rocket, I think I know just the right person.
We turn now to a school bus driver allegedly drunk on the job in Washington State. The frightening video from inside that bus, and you can hear the children screaming in fear.
Police say the driver, 48-year-old Catherine Macaron, was under the influence while behind the wheel earlier this month.
I am crazy. I'm totally crazy.
A boy rushing home to call 911, telling the operator his driver sped through three red lights. Macaron driving 90 students that afternoon, later arrested.
Wow. Seeing this bus driver removed brings up every parent's worst nightmare, having to take your own kids to school. You know there was probably one dad out there who was like, she was drinking? They better fire away. But that mean, I mean, how much was she drinking? And as terrible as this is, you've got to admit, these kids will probably never drink and drive after this experience. No, because trauma is way more powerful than any 30-second PSA that you can give kids, right? Because they'll be like drunk driving. Like, that lady, I don't want to drink and drive. Like, if Smokey Bear really wanted to get kids to prevent forest fires, he just lights a few third graders on fire. Yeah. No, because think about it. If a bear had lit your friend on fire, that shit stays with you forever. But yes, the bus driver is in trouble. And honestly, I think this is a double standard. Because think about it. This woman drives a bus drunk and she gets arrested. But Denzel flies a plane drunk. He gets an Oscar nomination. I think it's a double standard. All right, and finally, for all those people who say they live at the gym, you may want to find a new home because we're learning that exercise isn't all it's cracked up to be.
A new study finds that too much exercise might be bad, especially for the brain. Researchers found that athletes who overtrained made more impulsive choices when it came to their finances, eating habits, and self-care. That's because they displayed more fatigue in the cognitive control part of the brain system. That is likely caused them to have trouble decision-making.
I love how whenever these studies come out, people who don't work out are like, you see, that's why I don't work out. It's like, no, you weren't working out before the study. And what about the Twinkies? Is that from a study? Is that what that is? This study makes sense to me, though, because essentially your brain only has so much energy for decision making. Like, it explains why we make good decisions in the morning, terrible decisions at night, right? Like, we've all heard of a one night stand. You've never heard of a one morning stand, yeah? Because we're thinking straight. Noah's like, dude, I woke up from my nap and there was a stranger lying next to me. Like, your decisions get worse as the day goes on. It's true for me. I know it's true for you as well. Like, in the morning, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna work out today, and I'm gonna have oatmeal before work, and then at the end of the day, I'm on the couch, like, I'm gonna eat a second tub of ice cream so that the first tub doesn't feel lonely. Ah. All right, that's it for the headlines. Let's move on to our top story. A week ago, the White House was rocked after a whistleblower accused the president of using his office to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, Democratic frontrunner and teeth-whitening spokesman. Then the nation was rocked when Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House and woman who always looks like she walked in on you masturbating, announced that the Democrats would be launching a formal impeachment inquiry. But what has happened since then? Well, let's find out in our ongoing segment, The Fantastic, Absolutely Tremendous Road to Impeachment.
The only thing they can impeach me for having created the best economy.
No other president should ever have to go through.
It's probably presidential harassment.
Donald Trump is in hot water right now for apparently using his office for his own political gain. And while we're still trying to digest the details of his call with the leader of Ukraine, we're finding out that he may have done it more than once.
NBC News has just confirmed what the New York Times reported, that President Trump has asked another foreign leader. This time it was the Prime Minister of Australia to help investigate his conspiracy theories around the origins of the now complete Mueller investigation. From that New York Times story, quote, President Trump pushed the Australian Prime Minister during a recent telephone call to help AG William Barr gather information for a Justice Department inquiry that Mr. Trump hopes will discredit the Mueller investigation.
Yes, it is now being reported that after the Mueller report was released, Donald Trump asked Australia's Prime Minister to help him get information that would discredit Robert Mueller's report. And if it's true, this is bad for two reasons. One, because it would mean Trump has been using the presidency as his personal vendetta machine. And two, it also means he's been using world leaders as his personal errand boys. Think about it. He's just running around to world leaders like, Ukraine, I need you to investigate Joe Biden and his son. Australia, help me discredit Robert Mueller. Spain, I want some of those little pies you guys make with the with the meat in the middle. Yeah, these scandals are making me hungry. Can you just, the little ones, empanadas, I want those ones. So what started as a scandal about a call to Ukraine is now snowballing bigly. And I don't know for certain how Trump is dealing with this shit, but judging by the 87 tweets he released over the weekend, it doesn't seem like he's taking it well. And I get it. I mean, not only are Democrats trying to impeach his ass, but now polls are showing that every day more and more Americans are in favor of proceedings to impeach his ass. But luckily for Trump, there's a group of supporters who will never leave his side. And those are Republican lawmakers.
The president didn't do anything wrong.
We've all seen the transcript. There's nothing there.
I'm glad President Trump continues to look into that interference so it doesn't happen again.
When I read the transcript, I see two leaders having admiration, not intimidation.
What do you make of this exchange? President Zelensky says we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. And President Trump replies, I would like you to do us a favor, though.
Well, you just added another word.
No, it's
in the transcript. You said, I'd like you to do a favor, though?
Yes, it's in the White House transcript.
That is the face of someone who knows he done f***ed up. Because I love how he pounced on the journalist because he thought he had a moment. Like, he thought he was going to exonerate Trump. All he did was make things worse. He's like, though! whoa! Guy's like, he said though. Oh, okay. It was almost like, if my client is guilty, then how do you explain this knife? They're like, that's the murder weapon we were looking for. Aha, what knife? Now look, man, it's no surprise most Republican lawmakers are standing with President Trump. But what is a little surprising is that they're arguing that not only did Trump not do anything wrong, but the real bad guy here is the one who reported the crime in the first place.
Who is this whistleblower? What bias do they have? Why did they pick this whistleblower to tell a hearsay story?
I know the difference between a whistleblower and a deep state operative. This is a deep state operative, pure and simple.
Rotten snitch, I'd love to whap him.
I want to know all about them. I want to know what kind of dogs they have, how many marriages they've had, if they have a DUI. I want to know if they're a partisan. I want to know everything.
I want to know his childhood nickname. I want to know his AOL password. I want to know if the hairs on the back of his neck stand up when you lightly whisper hello handsome into his ear. I want to know it all. So yes, Trump supporters are desperately trying to figure out who the whistleblower is. Right? And that person is clearly in a very precarious situation, which is why lawmakers and journalists are now saying it's imperative to protect this person's identity at all costs. No one wants it slipping. Nobody wants the identity coming out. So for more on this and what's being done to protect the whistleblower, we go now to our senior White House correspondent, Roy Wood Jr., everybody.
Hey, Trevor.
The whistleblower is under intense scrutiny and there's concern that their identity may be leaked by the press. What is being done to protect them?
That's exactly right, Trevor. Certain details about this person's identity have already been reported by the New York Times. But I spoke with him this morning and there's an important...
Wait. Him? So you're confirming that it's a man?
Trevor, gender is a spectrum. Okay. We don't know how he identifies.
You just said he again.
All right, damn, it's a man, all right? You got me. That's my bad. It's my bad. I gave you that one. But I can tell you this about the man, Trevor. He's scared. I could sense it. I looked deep into the blue eyes of this 6'4", brown-haired gentleman, and he's terrified. Terrified that some careless journalist would reveal his identity or her identity.
You already told us his, but what else did you guys talk about?
Well, we talked about the Ukraine call, of course, and we talked about the fallout from the complaint. Oh, you'll like this. Baseball playoffs are starting. He thinks the Brewers are gonna make a run. He's a big Brewers fan since he grew up outside Milwaukee.
God damn it, Roy!
What? I just said Milwaukee. I didn't say which state.
Roy, you need to be more careful. You could be putting him and his family at risk.
No, don't worry about his family. I spoke to his wife, Marcia. She's straight. Marcia's fine. She's got her hands full. It's bird migration season, and she's one of the world's leading researchers of the yellow-billed cockatoo. She's practically the Jane Goodall of that species, but that's her name's not Jane. Her name is Marcia.
Roy, you realize right now you're narrowing it down so much. Please try to be less specific, okay?
Oh, and ignore her accomplishments, Trevor? She's just as much a hero to their son, Kevin Jr., as her husband, who, as we know, needs to remain anonymous.
Roy, good God. Kevin Jr.'s father, Kevin Sr., is counting on you to keep his identity a secret.
Whoa, Trevor. Gonna blow his cover. Do you have any idea what it's like to be holed up in the Holiday Inn on the outskirts of Arlington, Virginia? I gotta warn him. I gotta warn Kevin. 7304. Hey, Kevin. Yeah, it's Roy. Yeah, get Marsha and the kids. Your cover been blown. Okay. Trevor blew your cover.
Roy, you're just giving it... That's enough. Roy Wood Jr., everyone. We'll be right back. You said the number.
Kevin's gonna have it
you
here.
Said the number, Roy. Stories help us understand the world we live in. And some news stories are just stupid. For those, we turn to Ronny Chang.
Thanks, Trevor. At this point, I think we can all agree that the internet is basically giving us all brain damage, okay? Social media is constantly bombarding us with information we don't care about, like what my friend ate for breakfast. and what my mom's watching on TV, and when my wife had our baby. Ugh. Okay? The point is, social media is destroying everything. Just look at this guy, who went viral for the dumbest thing possible.
Carson King thought he'd get a few laughs.
Just kind of thought it was a joke.
And maybe even a few bucks on ESPN's College Game Day with a sign asking for beer money, along with his actual Venmo account. The money started pouring in.
I had people from Texas, Idaho, California, Massachusetts.
All told, King raised more than $1 million.
This guy got $1 million for beer. Are you kidding me? All he did was hold up a sign. This guy does it on TV and he's a hero. But when I held up a sign demanding money, all of a sudden I'm a bank robber and I took hostages, which is like a federal offense. And the fact that this even worked was stupid, Trevor. But not as stupid as what he did with the money.
He decided he'd donate all of it, minus the cost of one case of beer, to the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. It overlooks the Hawkeyes football field, where at home games, fans turn and wave to the kids. Hearing the news, Venmo and Busch Beer both vowed to match the growing funds.
Wow, he gave all that money to a children's hospital. What an incredible insult to all the hardworking Americans who thought it was for beer. Yo. At least he bought, like, one case of beer, okay? Although now there's just gonna be some kid who's $12 short of a new kidney, right? Oh, sorry, Timmy, we ran out of money, but we did put this empty can of Bud Light inside of you. Let's just see what happens. If you think this story couldn't get any stupider, remember, on the internet, no good deed goes unpunished.
The Des Moines Register profiled King, and the reporter dug up a couple of offensive, racist tweets from when King was 16 and sharing jokes from the Comedy Central show Tosh.0.
It was brought to my attention by a reporter for the Des Moines Register, and once he pointed it out, I was really upset with myself.
Well, what a plot twist. The guy who raised over $2 million for sick kids also tweeted offensive jokes 10 years ago. So is he a good person or is he a bad person? I haven't been this confused about how to feel since I got a boner for my great-grandma's yearbook photo. But at least there's a clear lesson here. Never donate money you get for beer to a children's hospital, okay? Because you only become famous if you donate the money. If you keep the money, no one cares and you're rich. And if you think this story doesn't get any stupider, then you are as wrong as the feelings I have for my great-grandmother, okay? Because get this. After a reporter exposed this guy's old tweet, the reporter himself got his own 15 minutes of shame.
Internet users, angry about the paper digging up old tweets, did some digging of their own, this time on reporter Aaron Calvin. And lo and behold, they uncovered derogatory tweets about African Americans, gay people, and women. The Des Moines Register then fired Calvin, saying, quote, "We took appropriate action because there's nothing more important than having readers' trust."
That's right. The reporter who found the racist tweets had even worse racist tweets. Just a classic case of the pot calling the kettle the N-word. Which is why I always say, don't point fingers on the internet, because the internet will finger you right back. So there you have it. The guy who raised the money is canceled, the reporter is canceled, I think the beer got canceled, and everything continues to be stupid.
Yes, but I think it is still a happy ending here, Ronnie, because at least the sick kids are gonna get that money.
Well, actually, Trevor, I dug out some of these kids' tweets and...
Don't even do it! Ronnie Chang, everybody! We'll be right back!
My guest tonight is a candidate for the Republican nomination for president in 2020. Please welcome former South Carolina Congressman and Governor Mark Sanford. Welcome to The Daily Show.
Great to be here.
You are doing what many experts believe is the impossible. You are running against Donald Trump for the Republican nomination. Why would you embark on a suicide mission?
Because I think it's a really important one. And whether I'm successful or not, I think we need to have a conversation about where we're going as Republicans and where we're going as a country.
So let's start with that. Let's start with that conversation. Yeah. And let's ask the questions. Where do you think Republicans have lost their way? In your opinion, what do you think the Republican Party has lost under Donald Trump?
A number of things. It used to be really hallmarks of the Republican Party. If you stop and think about this notion of financial stewardship, whether you agree or disagree, at least Republicans were recognized for trying on that front. If you look at debt and deficits and government spending, they have spun indeed out of control under this president's watch. Right. He's called himself the king of the debt. And we're headed for real troubles on that front, which is worth a longer conversation. I think we're missing it on looking inward versus outward. What has distinguished our civilization, really, from the time of World War II, World War I, has been an outward look that has profited this nation mightily at many different levels. I think we're missing it with regard to institutions. If you stop and think about it, institutions are the framework that hold the balance of power that our founding fathers put in place. And what the president's doing, when he says that Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is an enemy of the state, what you're doing is really degrading the institutional framework that holds our balance of power in place. And finally, the president's missing it on tone. You know, you can say the right thing, you say it in the wrong way, nobody's listening. And I saw it in the congressional district that I used to represent. Literally, working moms, soccer moms, young millennials turned away in droves, so much so that that district, which has been Republican for the last 50 years, went Democrat for the first time in 50 years, all largely, frankly, based on tone. So we could get into those things, but those would be four keys as to sort of where I'm coming from.
Well, that's an interesting one to bring up, tone and the way that you say things. Could it then be construed that what you're saying is what Donald Trump does is not necessarily the worst, but the manner that he does it in is particularly bad? So would you be selling to people basically a PG version of Trump's ideas? Is that what you're saying? I don't want to leave you misinterpreting. Because when you say tone is a major thing, do you think those voters literally went, we like the policies, we just don't like the way he speaks, and so that's what's going to turn us off?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of conservatives that like what he's getting at with regard to conservative judiciary or a tax cut or dereg. They like those things as items on an agenda. But what they've also said is, we're not going to put up any more with the tweets. We're just sick of it. There's something wrong with somebody standing in a bathrobe at 3 a.m. tweeting some strange message out. And you're with me there, aren't you?
Well, you're assuming he's wearing a bathrobe, but okay. Carry on. I mean,
fair enough. But
yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, it's not leadership, and it's not. It's not engaging the way that leaders have to engage with folks that bring about change, whether that's at the elected level or whether that's at the voter level.
Here's one thing that always gets me, though, is I've had the privilege of speaking to many Republican leaders and lawmakers who say what you're saying in a very similar fashion. You know, Trump does not represent the party, and this is not what Donald Trump, you know, what the Republican Party is all about. Donald Trump is not that. But my question is, if Donald Trump does not represent the Republican Party, then why is he so popular with Republican voters? Is it possible that he doesn't represent the party, or do you think that maybe yourselves as the lawmakers have lost touch with what Republican voters actually want?
That's the $94 question. That's what I'll find out over the course of this campaign. It's either all the conversations I had over 25 years of politics in the House and two terms as governor, either they didn't matter and they weren't real, or they were. If they did matter, those small business folks that I was talking to that were struggling to make it, the family gathered around the kitchen counter saying, you know, how do we put our checkbook together and make their numbers work as a family? If those conversations were real, then my campaign's going to have some level of currency and it's going to move forward. Because the way the president is moving us is in the opposite direction. I mean, we're headed for the big, and this is, I'm on a comedy show, so this doesn't fit, but we're headed for the biggest financial storm our country has ever seen outside of the Great Depression. That's where we're headed. So the value equation with Trump is economic. People put up some weird stuff, but they say, well, my 401k is doing okay and I got a job. But the course that he's leading on is the equivalent of the family that lives down the street that seems to be incredibly prosperous, but it turns out they're creating this illusion based on credit cards. That's what we're doing as a nation, and we got to have a conversation on it because, frankly, neither Republicans nor Democrats are talking about it right now.
So if a Republican voter is out there and they're seeing your campaign, What are you offering to a Republican? Because you're not trying to run as a Democrat. You're not trying to change that. You're saying, no, I am a Republican.
Correct.
And there are many Republicans who would say to you, we're getting the tax cuts that we want. They may not have benefited the middle class and lower income earners as they were, you know, as they were promised, but we're getting the tax cuts we wanted. We're getting stricter immigration the way we wanted it. We're getting a president who cares about America and nobody else in the world. So what are you offering Republicans? What are you offering Republican voters then? Why would they leave Trump to vote for you?
I'm offering them truth, which is the economic, when he talks about a great economy, it's an economy that's fake based on credit card buildup. I mean, we're running the highest debt we've ever run in peacetime. We're running the highest deficits we've ever run in peacetime. The spending that drives both. And we're working ourselves into an absolute math trap. I mean, it's telling that Admiral Mike Mullen, who is the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when asked, this is a military person speaking, when asked, what's the biggest threat to the American civilization? His answer is not the Taliban, not the Chinese, not the Russians, the American debt. We have got to have a conversation as Americans, and this is a good part of why I'm running, on that front. So what I'm offering is simply saying, this is the truth. And we can pretend there's a great economy because we're propping it up. We can pretend that these jobs are going to be there. But they're not if you look at the math behind where we're headed as a nation, and we're headed there quickly.
You're an interesting candidate in that you may be the only candidate I've ever heard say, I don't think I will win, and that is fine, but I'm running for a different purpose. Why is that?
I have four sons that I love, and there are a lot of the kids and grandkids that I don't know that you love or folks in the audience love. What you can't do, I come from the coast of South Carolina. We have hurricanes that regularly hit our coast. If you were a weatherman and you've been involved in politics for a long time and have some degree of record on deficits and spending and those sorts of things, to look at what's coming our way and simply say nothing. In other words, our ability, I mean, we're playing with the fire that breaks apart civilizations. You look at where we're going on spending, you look at where we're going on institutions, you look at where we're going on civility and tone, those are the things that break apart a civilization. And as one who's had experience, again, this is, again, a preposterous proposition at many different levels, but friends came to me for a year. Their point after my election loss last June was, God just cleared your calendar for a reason. I know it is. I'm so glad you got the direct connect. Fill me in. But their point was, no, you need to do this. Here's the why. You've been involved in this for a long time. Please just go out and talk about it. And so that's what I've begun, and here we are.
Okay, so then final question before I let you go. As a Republican who says you're not drinking the Kool-Aid with regards to Trump.
Yeah.
Let's talk about news.
Yeah, but I'm not so much so that he came after me in my, I mean, how often does the President of the United States go after a sitting member of Congress of his own party to take him out? I mean, that means you're really not drinking.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So let's talk about the news that as it's happening right now.
Yeah.
You have Donald Trump facing impeachment. You have Donald Trump releasing, his White House releasing transcripts of calls between him and Ukraine.
Right.
You have now news breaking just today about Australia and possibly Italy and him using Barr and Mike Pompeo on the phone. What do you make of this? First, most importantly, do you think what he did was appropriate with Ukraine?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Do you think it is an impeachable offense?
I don't want to prejudge the process. In other words, it would seem to me that the logical answer is yes. I want them to, I mean, I'm not on the committee of jurisdiction. I want them to go through their process.
Right.
But it would seem to me at first glance that that's where you'd end up. But again, I'm not going to prejudge the process.
And why would you say it's inappropriate?
Why?
Yes.
Because why do you, why would you say what he did? What you don't do as President of the United States is say, why don't we get our attorney general involved with a foreign power to help wipe out a domestic political foe? That crosses a red line.
Oh, I guess you're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Good luck with the race. It's going to be interesting. Mark Sanford, everybody. Thank you very much.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.